Hello, Pastor Sam here. Welcome to Our City Church's YouTube channel. We're so glad to have you. If you're looking for encouraging messages, you're in the right place. Please enjoy today's message and make sure to like and subscribe and comment and share it with a friend so it can encourage them too. Now, enjoy the message for today.
But I'm so glad to be here this morning. Where's my home team at this morning? Do I have a home team? Come on. Come on, y'all. Home team, you can do better than that. Come on, where's my home team this morning? All right. I'm just going to be completely honest. I said this in the circle up, and the enemy has been fighting me for about 2 or 3 months. He can't win. Come on. Thank you, home team. But he's been battling with me about certain things you want to speak about, what to preach about. And one of the biggest things that he's been talking about to me is the truth. We live in a convoluted world right now that we don't know what to believe anymore because we hear this and we hear that. And I believe over the last couple of months, God's been really highlighting to me that preach the simplicity of the gospel. And the gospel is offensive. It said in John 6:6, it says, and many of them turned away. That's not a coincidence. It's in John 6:6. Y'all get where I'm going with that? And many of them turned away and followed him no more. I believe we're living in a time, I'm getting ahead of myself, I'm going to get back to this, but I believe we're living in a time where we have got to stand up for our faith. We have to stand, not just be casual Christians, that somebody that comes to church on Sunday and checks it off the box and okay, I did my good deed for I'm talking about someone who's going to stand for our faith when we're walking. Come on, y'all, this is not in my notes. When we're walking out in this public, where we're walking out into our workplaces, in our schools, somebody's going to stand up for the faith. Amen. Home team usually wins 68% of the time, except if it's the Ryder's Cup. Yeah, I've been down and depressed the last couple of days because they're not playing good at all. But typically, athletes perform better at home. So I'm going to ask you this morning to help me preach this message. If this message offends you, help me preach it. If this message steps on your toes, help me. If this message, help me, Jesus, encourages you, help me preach this message, because I believe if we'll open our spiritual ears to hear what God wants to say right now in this time that we're living in. I grew up in church. Man, y'all are going to get all of it this morning. I've been on vacation. But I grew up in a time saying Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. I heard that from the time I was a kid. Every single time my mom and dad didn't make a noise, I thought I'd miss the rapture. Come on, y'all know, y'all grow in church, you know what I'm talking about, right? Oh my gosh, Jesus already came back and I missed it. But I've been hearing that since I've been a child. And what happens is we become so desensitized to hearing what the truth is that we think, oh, that's just for somebody back. It hasn't happened in 50 years or 59 years. Then who's to say it's going to happen now? But in the past, even people who weren't Christians, they showed the Christianity some respect. We had the home field advantage with little or no opposition. We prayed when we wanted to pray. Come on, somebody. We read the Bible when we wanted to read the Bible. We went to church. We spoke out. We disciplined our kids. We were allowed to whip our kids. Woo! My mama used to spare the rod, spoil the child. She really, really didn't spare the rod on me. But the teachers... Now, the teachers are on the defensive all the time because little Susie, little Johnny can do no wrong. Come on, got any teachers in the house? There was a time when we could do discipline and we could do that, but over time, we've become more and more like the away team in culture today. What happens with the away team? The away team gets booed. They get made fun of. They get made feel uncomfortable. Why? Because they're not the home team. It's because we as the church, we as Christians have become so desensitized by culture, so desensitized. Come on, y'all, got to help me this morning. We've been so desensitized by entertainment. We've been so desensitized by the media, by the surroundings that it dictates where we go, what we do, what we say. We claim Team Jesus all the time. But when the time gets rough and when the times get done, we switch teams in the middle of the game. We've progressively lost our home field advantage. How do we reclaim that? It starts with taking a stand. The title of my message is Time to Take a Stand. I'm going to ask you this morning, where do you stand this morning? We always say we're standing up for our rights, or are we standing up for what is right? Come on. When you're serving Jesus, it's not a democracy. It's His way. Come on. I want what I want. I want to do what I want to do. But are we standing up for what's right in our culture today? The old country song, you got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Standing out in our faith means testing can come along. And it may determine whether you're fitting in or you're standing out in your faith. Standing up happens when we, number one, change what we worship. Ooh, help me, Lord, right now. Jessica, can I get my water bottle right now? I feel like I need a drink. Not that kind of drink, y'all. Don't be judging me. Change what we worship. Daniel 3:1. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 90 feet tall. Take this. This is 13-foot ceilings. A bunch of those on top, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide. Then he sent the messengers to the high and said, high officials and governors and advisors and all those people, and all the providential officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. A 90-foot tall, 9 feet wide statue set up in the plains. Everyone was to come and to worship this. We, in our lives, are idol worshipers. Come on, you say, not me. I'm not an idol worshiper. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm perfect. You know, no. But anything you put before God, I know if you're a visitor here this morning, I apologize, but I'm really not going to apologize this morning. Anything that we put before God is an idol in our lives. The Bible says in one of those commandments, it said, you shall have no other gods before me or besides me. And if you start thinking about what is an idol in my life, is an idol in your life a relationship? Woo, come on. Is an idol in our life our image, ourselves? Listen, those Instagram has filters. She don't look that good. You can't judge, don't get me started on social media. You can't judge the smile out there on somebody who may be broken, but they put their best foot forward. All you can see is what they want you to see. That was free. Are you addicted to your phone? We sat and watched somebody sit through a whole hour long, a man and a wife, I suppose. They didn't even speak to each other. Scrolling on a phone, eating a bite of and I thought, what a sad time to be so addicted to our... That can be your idol. When you look at your screen time at the end of the week, it can tell a lot of how you spend your time. Help me, Jesus. When you look at your screen time and say, God, I gave you my 5 minutes this morning. God, I gave you my 4 minutes. I read my 2 Bible verses this morning, but yet your screen time shows 7 hours and 47 minutes of scrolling, and something is wrong. You have an idol in your life. Listen, I'm not talking, everybody got to have a phone, but y'all know what I'm talking about. My son and daughter-in-law just eliminated TikTok out of their life. You know what they said? Come on. Said it was consumed. They're not even going to church. Oh, praise God. They started going to church a couple weeks ago. But they said it was such a distraction to them that they couldn't even have family time because they were both on their phones so much. And when we're so distracted with famous people, who really does want to keep up with the Kardashians? Ain't nobody got time for that. And here's the problem. The enemy doesn't have to really work very hard at all, because he knows that distractions can steal your potential. He knows that distractions can steal your potential. All those things I said to you, your phone and watching TV, they're not all bad. But when they steal your focus, when they steal what God has to, it becomes an idol in your life. being wrapped up in everything that a celebrity's doing or wrapped up in playing video. Any gamers in the room? How many hours do you spend playing games? I'm not trying to be holier than thou. I watch TV probably too much. But when you start thinking about what it does to you and where a distraction, where it pulls your attention to, man, it's really an eye-opening experience. God has really, in the last couple months since I got sick, he's opened my eyes and my heart up to a lot of things differently. That he said, you could be so much farther along. Your potential has been stifled. Your potential has been stifled by the things that you're not doing or the things you're doing in excess. Oh, I told you. I hope y'all come back if it's your first time. Time is valuable. And distractions can take away from your time with God, from spending time in prayer, spending time in the Word, spending time in worship. They can take away from everything you do before you know it even happens. Standing out happens when we, number two, stop bowing to culture. The king commanded his leaders and his officials and all the important people to come and to dedicate this image and idol. And he said in verse 4, then a herald shouted out, people of all races and nations, languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of all the instruments, you are to bow down to the king of Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey, anyone who refuses to bow, will immediately be thrown into the blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that the king had set up. It said all the people bowed. The world, the crowd, they all say go with the flow. They all say this, don't stand up for what's right. Everyone's doing it, so it must be normal. God didn't call us to be normal. They've called me not normal a few times in my life. Sometimes it's been good, sometimes it's been bad. But we are not normal and we are not nominal. We are the ones to call to be something that's set apart for what God is doing. But here's the thing, everybody's doing it, but most of the people doing it are going in the wrong direction. Matthew 7:13 says this, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. We can blend. We can bow to culture. No, listen, we can blend. We can even bend a little bit, but we cannot bow to culture. Methods can change. The message never changes. Jesus is still the message. Repentance is still what he calls us to do. Salvation and the cross are the most important things in your life. What you wear to church, I don't care. I had so many people say, I would go to church if I had something to wear. I was like, what you got on right now? You in Kroger? You look okay. Those sweatpants, they'll be okay at our church. Come on, we make it difficult for people to come as you are because we have such an expectation of what they're supposed to look like. But what we do, the problem is we forget what we used to look like. That they're supposed to raise up to this, oh Lord, help me get back on my notes. We'll be here all day. Jesus is the message. The methods can change. Yes, we have black walls there. Why? I don't know. Because it was black. It covers a multitude of sins. Covers a lot of drywall imperfections. Right, Bob? But I say that funny, but I've had so many people, why is everything black? I don't know. We just started painting it black and it was black. Okay, let's get back on focus here. Once you bow, it leads to compromise. And compromise means we accept standards that are lower than desired. Compromise leads to control of our thoughts. Come on, y'all. Control of our feelings, our emotions, and ultimately it ends up affecting your actions. The good news is this. You don't have to be in the everyone bowed crowd. I said, I'm going to get that right. You don't have to be in the everyone bowed crowd. Not everyone is doing it. Come on. You're here this morning. Not everybody is in church, but you're here today. He told Elijah, Elijah said, I'm the only one left, God. Nobody else cares about it. He said, no. There are thousands that have not bowed to the king. They've not bowed down yet. Sometimes we feel like we're alone. Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones being the good Christian. There are people around you. Look next to you. You got someone who's trying to get to. Come on. They're making. I had too much vacation. God has preserved a group. He's preserved a remnant. And as is that you? I'm asking the question, is that you today? Remember, not everyone will like you when you stand up. There's 300,000 people at this event. This is going to help somebody. How did the king know that three of them didn't bow? They got snitched on. There are always going to be, when you make a stand, there's always going to be jealousy. There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be tattletales. King, didn't you say that if they, not everybody bowed, they'd be thrown into the fire? Don't you love the conversation where you say, I'm not trying to gossip. You better stop listening from that point on because they're gossiping. I'm not trying to tell you anything, but let me tell you something. Daniel, he says this, there are some Jews, verse 12, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you put in charge of the province, he's making the king feel bad now, of Babylon, that pay no attention to you. They refuse to serve your God and do not worship the gold statue that you have set up. Can I just tell you, this is going to help you. Not everybody around you is in your corner. I said this a few weeks ago. You got to find out who your friends are. You got to find out who's going to have your back. Who's going to be there when you really need someone. Not everybody who says they're in your corner is for you. Come on, there's some people you need to eliminate out of your corner and say, okay, no longer will they be in my corner because I know you're not for me. Come on, y'all already got somebody in your mind right now that you're going to have to say goodbye yesterday. Daniel 3, then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and he ordered that they be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my God or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I'm going to slow down. The devil's tactics have not changed. His plan has not changed. Is it true? He's still using manipulation. Is it true? He's still using me, making you feel guilt and feel shame. Come on, girls. If a guy says, if you really love me, you'll. That was a better one to ask the teenagers, but we're running in a culture right now where everybody's acting a fool and being tempted to be immoral. I'm just being honest. Y'all are getting the whole Pentecostal message today. He's still using condemnation. Huh. God won't give you one more chance. He's done with you. You've already messed up too many times because he tries to use our human nature because we give up on people in a hot second. But the good thing about God is if God gave up on somebody, I wouldn't be standing here before you because I have walked away from him. I have spit in his face. I've done all those things. He's always been there lovingly to tap me on the shoulder and say, come on back. Come on back. I know you messed up. Come on, come on, come on, come on. I love the prodigal son. You ain't getting that one this morning. And he's out there to cause doubt. Did God really say that? Who can save you? Who is this God? That's what Nebuchadnezzar was talking about. He was poking at God. I love verse 15. Now, if you're ready, this is our part. Now, y'all got to pay attention. Now, if you're ready, at the time you hear the sound of all the instruments again, you'll bow down and worship the image which I have made. But if you don't worship, you will be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God, little g God, who will deliver you from my hands? He says to them, if you're ready, I'm giving you one more chance. Standing up happens when, number three, we make up our minds. The battlefield is right here, Rick. So many times we mess up and I said this a couple weeks ago. We call it a mistake, but it was a choice. Lord, forgive me for my mistakes. He's like, no. That was not a mistake. That was something you chose to do. Stand up when we make up our minds. Our mind is the battlefield. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. What they were saying in essence is, we don't need time to think about it. We've already made up our mind. What could be accomplished in our lives if we just made up our minds? You know why we need to make up our minds? Because we can talk ourselves out of it. You ever talk yourself out of something good? Because we've analyzed it, we've thought about it, we've projected it to 15 different people, got 7 different opinions. Sometimes God just wants us to make up our own mind and not worried about what everybody else is saying. We can talk ourselves out of it. That's why we need to get the right people around us. Number 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. You got to get some we people around you. Unity equals strength. We're better together. When you have the right people around you, people that will push you in the right direction instead of pull. You got those energy suckers in your life? Goodbye, energy sucker. People that are going to push you in the right direction, not in the wrong direction. People who are going to encourage you instead of always trying to discourage you. You ever been around negative Nancy? Any Nancy's in the room? I'm not on you. But quit being negative. You got to get some real friends. Standing up happens when, number four, we take a stand. I love when he said in 18. But even if he doesn't, y'all don't even know the scope of those words. There's a furnace burning. And he says, even if he doesn't, let me make it clear to you. If you didn't get it the first time, this is for the people in the back. Let me make it clear to you, your majesty. We will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up. If you didn't hear me the first time, let me make it clear to you, we will never do it. Is that you? Do people know where you stand? Does your family know where you stand? Your friends, your church family, everybody is watching. The world is watching where we stand and how we present ourselves. You might say, that's hard to live up to. It's a lifestyle change. I used to have a foul mouth. I had to start catching my words. I used to have a lot of other bad habits. I finally just started having to axe those out of my... Did I say it's easy? No. But it's a choice that I had to make in my own life to really get people to understand who I am and who I was going to be. Instagram and Twitter and Facebook, TikTok pictures. Actions speak louder than words. And what you live is not what you project on social media. You're going to be known by, help me preach this morning. You're going to be known by your fruits. If your fruits are rotten, your fruit's going to show up. If your fruit stinks, man, people are going to be able to walk around you going, woo, I smell something. My wife has a bloodhound nose, and she knows when my fruit's bad, and she'll tell you. Actions speak louder than words. I love those, even if. Even if. What a gift to have an even if kind of faith. Even if I feel afraid, I will fear no evil. Even when I feel secure, anxiety, I am going to trust, insecure and anxiety comes over me, I'm going to trust in my God. Even if I feel, come on somebody, if I feel out of control, I'm going to lean on the one that's in control. Even if I feel disappointed, we can still trust in God because he's the one that never lets you down. Even if you feel betrayed, anybody ever been betrayed by someone you just didn't? Man, they're always going to have me. They're always going to have my back until they stick a knife in it. Oh, man, that guy. Y'all got those friends, you know? Oh, well, I wouldn't call them friends anymore. Even if you're there and you've made some bad choices, there's one to correct you and to bring you back. I think what we need to do, we need to get some even if faith. You know why? Because the fire is getting ready to be hotter. There's things happening in the world today. I said, I've been raised my whole life here, and Jesus is coming back, and this is the end of the world. And again, I'm not giving you the time or the place because it's not for me to do. You just got to be ready. But I think we're in a time right now, man, we're going to have to stand up, and there's going to be fire that we're going to have to go through. Nebuchadnezzar in verse 19, he was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that even the furnace, come on, be heated 7 times hotter than usual. You are going to face trials. 1 Peter 4:12 says this, dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through, as it is something strange were happening to you. I'm going to encourage you this morning. The devil will turn up the heat when you stand. And you might be getting more heat because you're doing something right, as opposed to doing something wrong. So many times we think, oh man, all hell's breaking loose. I must be doing, no. It could be the time that you're standing up, you're taking your family to church. You're standing up at work and you're speaking out against things that really need to be spoken out about. No trial you're facing has no, at the power, the trial you are facing has no power over you unless you give it the power. So many times in our lives, we give these things life that Jesus has already killed. He's already said, I've already taken it. It is finished. I've already taken care of these things. But yet we keep trying to resurrect it. We try bringing it back to life. And God is saying, no, I've killed it, baby. You got to choose how to respond to your trial. You can shrink back. You can lay down, you can give up, or you can stand up and you can stare your trial in the eye and say, if God is for me, come on somebody, you got to get a faith. If God is for me, who can be against me? I know that he will never leave me, he will never forsake me, and sometimes you just got to tell the devil, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. One more hour and I'm done. Standing up happens when we, number five, don't fear the fire. The king commanded his mighty men, he said, bind them up, put ropes on them, and throw them in the fire, clothes and all. Verse 22, and because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace that the flames killed the soldiers that were throwing them in. Some people can't go where you're going. Some people can't go where you're going. I've started this journey with Christ, and man, it's been hard. Some people can't go where you're going. I started going to church, and people think I'm crazy. Some people can't go where you're going. And when they get too attached to them, the fire can burn them off of your life. Why do you think, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Why do you think you've lost some people in your life ever since you've been trying to follow Christ? It's because sometimes God's going to cut those people. And there's times when he cuts them out of your life and when you don't want to cut them out of your life. Oh, help me, Jesus. There's a testimony coming. I ain't giving it to you yet. God can and will replace some of the people in your life that are keeping you from going where he wants you to go. And when you surround yourself with the right people and do the right things, you're still probably going to have some trials. Look at Daniel 3, 23. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the fire?" "Well, yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. He said, "Look." Come on, sometimes we just gotta look. He said, "I see four men loose." Come on, somebody. "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God." It says they were loosed and walking around. Those things that once bound them were burned off. Those ropes were physical. But sometimes we can't physically see what is binding us. We talk about the big ones like fear and anxiety and depression, all of the big things, right? But think about it. What about acceptance? What about perfection? Any perfect people in the house or try to be? Definitely not. I'm living with one that she likes things the way she likes her things. She ain't married to the right person. But what about comparison? What about control? Any control freaks in the house? Don't raise your hand yet. We're gonna get it out of here in just a few minutes. How about impatience? Woo! Come on, we think about all the big stuff, right? But we don't think about those little things sometimes. Sometimes fire is necessary because fire burns things off. What fire does, it refines you. It removes the impurities, the unwanted elements that cleanse you. I remember when I watched my uncle set our hillside on fire when it got too much. He says, "What I'm going to do is I'm going to burn off what's not supposed to be there." Come on, y'all ever seen that? I was a kid looking up, man, there was just fire going everywhere. It was great. I love it. He said, "Well, what happened is about 6 months later, Jessica, that grass came up greener than it ever did. All the dead limbs and all the branches were gone. And that whole hillside was so green that you wouldn't believe what it looked like 6 months before that." Sometimes God has to take that fire and he has to refine us. He has to burn off the impurities in our lives and things that we're doing. And he's got to get us to a place where we know that it's him doing it. The king shouted out to them, "Come out." Then the high officers and the official governors, 27, Trey, sorry, and advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not even touched them. I like this. Not a hair on their head was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. Listen to this. They didn't even smell like smoke. No burn, no smell, no harm. Sometimes you don't always have to come out of the battle fire broken. Sometimes you don't have to always come out of the battle fire scarred. Sometimes God can pull you through that. When you come out on the other side, you're way better than you used to be. Come on, if you've been through something, if you're going through something right now, start praying into that, saying, "God, what is it you want me to know in this situation?" When I was laying in a hospital bed for 4 days, I looked at a yellow wall on a clock and said, "God, what do you..." Such revelation sitting in a hospital room when you ain't got nothing else to do. Such a hearing of the voice of the Lord when you're sitting there and you don't have thousands of distractions in you. When I came out on the other side of that fire, God said, "I'm going to make you burn hotter than you've ever burned before." Come on, you can learn something in the fire. You can learn something in the fire. If you're going through something right now, I heard Jay, the Holy Spirit said, start praying into your fire right now. Yeah. There's something that God wants to show you in this fire. And listen, not all fire is destructive. I just said a minute ago, sometimes fire refines you. Makes you come out on the other end better. Okay, let me get ahead here. I said 5 minutes on the mouth. God will keep you from it, or he'll be in it with you. Aren't you glad this morning for the fourth man in your fire? Come on, start thinking about the times in your life when, man, you thought nobody was there. And you looked over, and you may not have saw, I'm not Pentecostal, and you may not have saw the Shekinah glory of God coming down, but you knew somebody was in the fire with you. You knew that you were not alone. You knew that what you were going through, there's a fourth man in the fire. There's a fourth man in your fire. There's a fourth man in your fire. I saw the fourth man in your fire a few weeks ago. All right, I'm going on. Sometimes God won't take you out of it, but he'll be there with you through it all. Your decision to stand to be the leader is bigger than you'll ever know. You will influence people more by doing what's right than by just joining into the crowd. It'll take you more courage to stand and say no. If you want to change culture, don't bow to it. Tear down your idols. Take a stand and allow the fire of God to burn. Burn it down, that's a country song. Burn it out. Because I'm telling you, God wants to do something so profound and so big, not just in our lives, but in the capital C church. This morning, Pastor Vonda prayed over. She preached too. Listen, we're not in competition with the church up the street. God bless them. If they're speaking the name of Jesus and they're preaching the truth, I hope their numbers overflow. We're in this thing together. There's an opportunity for you on the other side of your trial if you stand. And if you want to change your environment, you want to change your circumstances, you want to change your influence, just know that change can happen. Listen to this, and I'm done, I promise. Verse 29. Therefore, I make a decree that in every people, nation, this is the king, or language, which speaks anything amiss. Look what happens. This is the guy that pretty much was the ruler of the known world right then. Against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God that can deliver like this. There is no other God that can do what I just witnessed. Oh, come on. God is still the God of the miracle. He's still the God of the comeback. He's still the God that he's still the same as he was yesterday, today, and forever. There is no one that can do what that I just saw. Come on. Oh, I felt the Holy Spirit saying there is something in somebody's life. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. There's something that's going to happen in your life. I'm speaking to someone here. I don't know who it is. It may be a month from now, 6 weeks from now, maybe tomorrow. They're going to say, man, I have never seen anything like that before. I can't explain what I just saw. I can't explain what I'm witnessing. That's the God we serve. So he says this, promotions. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Right actions, positive results. So are you standing? Are you having a hard time standing? Maybe you're not seeing the change or the positive results or the opportunities you thought you did. I'm going to tell you this much. Keep standing. Keep on standing. Even when it gets hard, even when you got a storm you're going through, even when you're going through uncertainty, keep standing on God's word. That's one thing God taught. I said it in pre-service. God says he wants us to stand on his word. If you're not in his word every day, get in his word. Get you some Bible verses and get you some things that you can stand on when we're about to go through something. Listen, this just isn't a story, and I'm winding up here. I know, I've said that three times. That's my third close. This is not just a story about three men thrown into a fire. It's assuring us there is another in the fire. It's assuring us that there's another one in your trial, in your situation, and in your circumstance. That there is another in the fire standing next to me. There is another in the water holding back the sea. Come on. Let's all stand if we would. I just heard Holy Spirit say, there's something you're believing for. Don't stop believing. That ain't a journey song. It's what God said. Don't stop believing. You may be standing right at the very edge of your breakthrough. Come on, this is for somebody. I know I just heard it. You may be standing at the very edge of your breakthrough. And he's wanting you to take that one last step of faith to say, okay, God, I believe you're going to do this. So many times what we do is we do this. We're here, and then we kind of creep back a little bit. God says, no. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to jump. Ouch. I'm getting old. He wants you to jump maybe in the water this morning. Maybe, oh, thank you for that revelation, God. Maybe you're in the fire this morning. You know what puts out fire? Water. He may want us to jump into the water this morning. These altars are going to be open in just a few minutes. Whatever fire you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, whatever thing you're still believing God for, I believe you can get it in the back row. But I also believe there's healing in the water right here. There's a story where it said, the angel came and stirred the waters at a certain time. There are times when God is stirring the water. This morning is a stirring the water time. And I believe that he wants to do something so profound in you, Dylan. So profound in you that you ain't going to even know what hit you. So as they get ready to sing this song, I'm done with my altar call. I believe people just need to make a choice today. Take a stand today and say, God, I don't want to feel the way that I feel anymore. God, I'm actually doing pretty good. I want to have a boldness. That's the one that's getting us right there. We have to get a boldness to start speaking out in our faith. Come on. Y'all know I love to go to Kroger. You got to be a witness at Kroger. You got to be a witness at your job. I'm not saying you got to be crazy as dumb and stand up on top of your desk. But when somebody asks about who you serve, you can say, man, I serve Jesus. We need to be bold in our faith. Come on, these altars are open. They're about to sing a song. It's not what we just do at the end of a service. It's who we need to be. These altars are open.
If you made it this far, we just want to tell you that we are so blessed that you took the time out of your day to spend it with us. We love you so much. And if you want more resources, please go to rcitychurch.com/online. We love you so much. Have a good one.